You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready. Now.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster.
And the biscuit.
Yo,
in the house.
Yo, wow. Guys.
Mr. Kent in this little corner.
That actually sounds cool. Mr. Kent in the corner. Biscuit, what is going on with your voice?
Nothing. I'm not doing this on purpose.
Wow.
I don't know what happened last 2 days or so. My voice has just been weird, and I don't know.
Been listening to too much Holy Ten, I think.
Wow.
Actually, yeah. Maybe. Should get you in the studio. Anyway, today we have a very meaningful episode planned for you guys. Initially, it may feel like, oh, it's not relevant to us. We don't know who they're talking about. But we hope you stick around and listen, and I do think you will glean one or two things from what we're about to cover. And so today is going to be a tribute episode to a friend of ours, a dear, dear friend of ours, who recently passed away. And his name is Tanya, a.k.a. Blati
Muchemwa.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, before we get there, T-Mac, it's good to have you back.
I'm not back. I'm just making a car appearance.
T-Mac, it's good to have you back. T-Mac, it's good to have you back.
Was this a trap? No, it's good to be back.
Yeah, after a long hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
And where were you?
Where was I? I was mothering.
She was being fruitful and multiplying.
Yeah. I was doing that.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's just good to have some laughter in the room because this is a really emotional episode for us. Blah was someone very special to all of us. And I think you've heard us refer to this name on multiple episodes. And we've had him on the show as well. Very, very, very dear friend of ours. Yeah. We've known Blah for, I don't know, years on end.
Decades.
Yeah, decades. And so it's really sad that we're doing this episode. But at the same time, we want to celebrate his life and the man that he was. So for the benefit of our listeners or those who don't know, who was Blah?
So for the audience's sake, Blah was a very passionate guy about music, entertainment, show business. That was his career. For context, he was artist development manager, and he ran an artist development agency called Chaos Club Digital Africa. And he had other various entities in entertainment, like Venue and Bly Entertainment, where he used to host events. Most known for doing tours with African artists around Africa and in Europe. He managed some notable artists. Some you may know, like Clay, who is on that Komasava song with Diamond Platinums. That was Blah's artist. In fact, one of his last pictures on his Instagram is him with Clay as she was about to go on stage. So, yeah, he was a guy who... Yeah, who carved the path for a lot of artists that we know now. People like Akko Waffles, Mr. Kamara, a lot of artists.
Yeah.
He's a Zimbabwean, but he was now based in South Africa. So he was really passionate about the music industry, the African music industry. He was a very important figure in the African music industry, well-respected in the industry from radio, TV, artists themselves. So publicly, that's what, you know, you would know Blah for. But for us, he was such a gift, such a great friend, one of us.
Yeah.
Very passionate about the things of God. That's what I'll say Blah was. And yeah, quite a instrumental guy to this podcast, because the idea of this podcast actually kind of was inspired by Blah, because he used to produce a podcast on Cliff Central, And he used to send me these episodes, and then the idea of doing a podcast came from that as well. And he was very instrumental in helping me, you know, structure it and seeing how we can produce it, the technical side, sending me links to where we would host it and that sort of thing. And even when we started running, he would always give me feedback. Hey, why don't you guys do this and that? And yeah, generally a very big supporter. I know Blau used to always share the podcast widely on his platforms, share it to different people. So he was quite dear to us at the podcast.
And I think just as a friend, because we met Blau in high school, Keith and I. And I met him in high school.
Yeah, I met him
in
primary school.
You met him in primary school,
really?
Yeah. So perhaps maybe we can just talk a bit about how we all met Blau.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I met him at church. He was was he a day leader? Yeah, he was a youth leader at Arena. Shout out to everybody who ever attended Arena at the Celebration Center. That was just the place to be as
best
a teenager.
Youth group in the world.
During that time, what was that? Early 2000s.
Early 2000s, yeah.
We don't want to give away our ages.
Well, you kind of have already, but it's fine.
But yeah, no, that was the place. That was the place to be. And yeah, Blau was a leader. So his name was Tanya, and I guess him and I just vibed on that point in the beginning, because I'd never met a guy who was called Tanya. So I was like, oh, that's weird. But yeah, and then we found out we were related. And yeah, there is this history.
Fun fact, you were the first girl I knew was called Tanya.
What?
Because in primary school, there were three Tanyas.
Who were boys?
Were all boys.
What?
All of them. Hmm. So when I met you, I was like, huh, a Tanya, a girl.
Oh my gosh, no ways. I didn't, okay. Yeah, actually, up until that point, I wasn't aware that the name was unisex.
Yeah.
And then after that, I started meeting more boy Tanyas. So, yeah.
But was that early 2000s, though?
Yes, it was.
When did you start coming to youth?
Maybe around 2005, 2006.
And you're like a lady.
For you guys, it was late 19.
No, I'm just because I'm trying to. No, man. Because I started
what are you saying?
Youth.
No, it was probably 2003. High school. 3-4
there.
That's when, yeah.
Anyway.
About 2003, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it's all good. It's all good. Mr. Mac?
Well, I met Blau in the same place.
Dropping off his sister for the youth meeting.
I was too old for Arena, and I missed that whole phase. So I met Blau in church, out of church, if you want to call it that. Because the first time I saw Blau was he was performing with Mr. Kent.
Yeah.
So I got to know them that way.
Yeah.
And then I was deeply moved by the performance itself. Mm. Maybe the artistry. It was more like, wow, these guys are doing something so amazing, so cool, so great. And I was just back from Australia. And I was so fresh and so clean.
Yes,
so
was.
Fresh and so clean.
It was.
And I was looking for ways to the Christian thing. Not that it was new to me.
Yeah.
But I was new to Pentecostal faith.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I was really trying to find ways of getting plugged in and getting involved and responding. I was never one to respond to unctions and all of that sort of stuff, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So I met up with Mr. Kent after one of the performances, and I said, I love what you guys are doing, and I want to help. I don't know how, but I want to help.
Yeah.
Not long after that, I was helping. I was helping. And that's, I guess, how I got to know Blau. Yeah. And I'll come back to that. But that's how I met him. I just knew him as Blau for a long time. And then I was like, Tanya, oh, that's an interesting coincidence. He was also the first male Tanya I met.
Oh, wow.
So it was easy to remember his name. Everyone knows I'm really bad with names, but his was easy. And so I think I was a friend. I became a friend first on the periphery, then became his friend over time. So,
Cool. Mr. Kent.
Cool. I met Tanya in primary school. So I used to live in Mutare, family relocated. I think I was 10 years old. And
Wasu.
So happened to relocate to the same block of flats that Tanya used to stay in.
Oh.
Yeah, and yeah, so on my first day of school, was this really short little guy, and I'm like, why is he in our class? This guy looks like a grade small. One.
Tiny guy.
My haters.
But he was one of the first to welcome me because I was new. I didn't know anyone, so I was kind of just reserved in my own corner. And he just made me feel welcome, showed me around the school, and we walked back home every day ever since that day.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
We became really good friends from there. And this guy was just passionate about music. I knew nothing about music. Mm. I don't know if it was a Mutare thing or whatever, but I was out of touch with music whatsoever. I was a sports guy. I loved soccer, cricket, and that stuff. But Blah always used to talk about music, especially rap music.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
At age 10?
Yes. Blah was. He introduced me to Notorious B.I.G. at 10. So he was crazy about music and performing. And from there, we just started listening to music, writing lyrics together of popular songs. And then we decided, hey, let's start writing our own music. And we formed a group in grade 6 called KTC. It stood for Keith, Tanya, and Carl. Carl's now in Australia. And yeah, we...
So imaginative.
We entered the variety show at school and we won it.
Oh,
yeah, we became superstars and all the girls.
Hey.
Then that kind of
that's
became,
where I went wrong.
That kind of became your trend, huh?
Kind of. And then high school came and yeah, we were friends, but we were in different classes, so we didn't hang around as much. But after school, yeah, we would. Like, actually, we used to walk back home because we were still at the same kind of flats.
Yeah.
In high school. But yeah, that's where Blah and I come from.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. I met him in high school.
Yeah.
At PE. And I, tiny guy.
Yeah.
He was in marching band. I remember. He was in marching band in Form 1. Tiny little guy. And I'm just like, what? This lady? But he was talkative. The heck. And then the crazy thing is that he used to hang out with the... You know, like, in school, there were these owns were just, like, the thugs.
Yeah,
school,
yeah.
Right? So those were his boys, right? So we weren't really friends then. But then we used to talk because of music and stuff. We really became friends after...
What instrument did he play in the marching band?
I don't remember. He played that drum.
The drum, right?
He used to have that thing.
He played the bass drum.
The bass drum, yes.
Yeah. But he was tiny.
And he was a tiny little guy.
I actually came across this clip. Thing. This little clip. It's on Facebook.
My name is Oswald Muchema. When I grow up, I want to be an architect.
But the one thing about Blah is that he just had this way of influencing people and rallying people around him.
Yeah.
You know, and so you'd be thinking... This guy, and he was a naughty own as well, and he was like in the lowest class. I'm just saying.
You know. Why is that worth mentioning?
No, but it's because those were his boys, right? And I was like, why this own? It's like he didn't care about school, and he often said it was just like, I did Pittman's math.
Always used to say that.
But man, you know, then I think when we got saved, and then we started going to youth, and then. I think Keith is actually the reason why, Mr. Kent, the reason why Blah then started coming to youth.
Yeah.
That's where him and I met. And then we became boys. We became really, really, really close. And I remember what happened is that because at the time I used to have to commute. This was not, I used to have to commute, catch 2 combis to go to youth.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a soldier?
I was a soldier, man. Yeah. You know, then Blah, I think the one Friday, Blah was like, hey, dude, why don't you just come to my cabin and sleep over? Then you can go home
the next day.
Tomorrow morning. Yeah. Then we did that. I went to his house. He stayed with his brother, and the wife then. And then that became the tradition every Friday. Then after that, it was like, just spend the weekend. Then I would spend the weekend at the house. Then I just started staying. At the house. And then, I almost became like a member of the family, you know, because it's just crazy how that happened. And so many adventures, yeah, because of that. Just a lot of adventures came out of that. Sometimes we'd steal his brother's car, because the brother used to travel sometimes. We'd steal his brother's car. I learned how to drive on that car, that black, that black Camry.
The Camry.
It's so crazy. So we just became super, super, super close. And he became really my best friend.
Yeah.
You know, then I remember the first job that I got, we worked together. We were selling Levi jeans at Sam Levy's Village.
Wow.
I think the friendship just blossomed from there. But of course, you know, Blah loved music. Yeah. And him and Mr. Kent had a group called Heaven's Language.
Yeah.
And yeah, you guys were celebrities, man. At youth.
Yeah.
We tried.
You were.
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah, but you know, the one thing about Blah, though, that always used to puzzle me was, so Blah is this tiny little guy, and he just always used to go for the hottest chicks.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
And you'd get them.
So then I was like, and that was Blah, man. Blah was just, he had guts for days. So I'd often wonder, this own, where does he get his confidence from? But he just did, you know? So yeah, he was just a bit of a ladies' man. But thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace, you know? And we shan't get into the details, into the details of that. But I guess let's talk a bit about, because, you know, of course, for those of you who may not know, Blah was born with a chronic illness, which was actually the cause of his death, unfortunately. But yeah, Blah was born with sickle cell anemia. I think some of you may know that illness. I was actually reading up on it and how hectic it is, you know.
And you know what? Sorry, just I only read up on it at the time of his passing because he himself never really made a big deal of it.
That's the thing.
I did like, not know.
No, until, I knew of his condition, but like, he just lived his life. Like, I don't know. He tried as much as he could to not make it a big deal. When he wasn't feeling good, I don't know. He just played it down or like, I don't know.
All the time.
He definitely
didn't. Because I did not know. I just knew, Blah, is this guy sick?
Then he's not okay.
I don't know. Maybe there's just something that keeps coming back and bugging him. Yeah. He never suggested that it was anything that dire, shall we
or
say.
Or limiting
that,
in any way, yeah.
Yeah. There was no time. And especially if I think back to the Heaven's Language days and the amount of performances that they were the things we would go to. I was the manager.
Yeah.
As silly as that may sound, that is how I helped. I was a manager, but at no point did he even suggest.
Yeah.
Fair enough, Mr. Kent said nothing either. Nobody to me. But nobody said anything. And I was just like, oh, okay, cool. He's up, he's down, great, whatever, he's good.
And to give a bit of background for people, so in primary school, that's when the sickle cell was very, very evident, because Blah was in and out of hospital. He missed a lot of school, which is why he ended up in the last class in high school, because he missed a lot of fundamentals. So he was always, so in primary school, that's when it was quite severe,
quite
strong, and he wasn't expected to live up until 6.
Yeah,
and then after that, it was like, okay, he won't make it until 12.
Yeah,
and he made it, and he made it to high school. And I must say, in high school, he didn't. It's sort of like it was managed quite well, so he didn't have as many episodes or time out in hospital as he did as compared to primary school.
Yeah.
So I guess at that point, people kind of thought, he's made it past 12. I think this thing is, he's beaten it. So I guess that's why he probably didn't mention it a lot more after that period.
Mm.
And
But
it was something that he battled with for a bit, especially in his younger days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think just having that context is, it changes a lot of things, because like you rightly said, you know, he had a way of just living his life without letting this illness that he had stop him. He almost just did his thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that, for me, just really always, I guess, puzzled me. Because I'd be thinking, if somebody has a chronic illness, especially when you start reading up on how hectic sickle cell anemia is, because just over the last couple of days, I watched a whole documentary on it. I'd never done that.
You know, crazy. Yeah. Now we're all like, let's actually get to know more about this.
And then just this Kenyan lady was explaining that I think a large percentage of people who are born with it don't live past 5 years old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And just the bouts with it that you have, like, the pain when people have these, they're called sickle cell crises, how crazy it is. I was even talking to a friend's mom who's a nurse, who was explaining that it's a really, really, really terrible disease, you know. And so for me, that's the thing that I'm like, blah, just kept going. And I think the thing that I saw change in him is when he found God, and when he plugged into God, I think that changed a lot of who he was as a person, you know, his outlook on life, because he just had this fire for God. Very unconventional kind of guy, but he had this fire for God that for me was just like, wow. So even that challenged me to think, we're living in an age where people cannot live with discomfort. Any slight form of discomfort, you know, people are already throwing their toys, you know, people are throwing tantrums, whether it's just inconvenience. But here's somebody who lived their whole life with a chronic illness, you know.
Not only are people not good at handling being uncomfortable or inconvenience, but we also, when there's so many, what do you call them? Trigger words. I don't know if I'm using the right term.
Yeah.
But like, people really wear their conditions now as a badge of honor, and will really throw it in your face when it's convenient for them, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, but I have an anxiety disorder. No, I have ADHD. I'm not saying that these I'm not saying that they're not real problems. Yeah. They are. Yeah. You can have an anxiety disorder. You can have ADHD. You can have panic attacks. You can have all of that. But I just feel like now more than ever, people are just using it as an excuse sometimes to get out of responsibilities or to excuse bad behavior.
Yeah.
Whereas this is someone who literally had every excuse.
Yeah.
And he never used it.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
One thing I know about Blah is he didn't want you to use his condition as an excuse. Because there are times where you'd get worried, especially, like, for me, I knew what he had been through, especially in primary school. So when we'd be performing, you'd be like, this guy, what if he gets...
And he was such an energetic performer.
Very energetic. But he did not want any excuse. You tune Blah, no, we're not doing that gig. Because Blah, you need to rest. And like, no, we are doing that. He pushed. He wanted to do stuff. He didn't want to use it as an excuse. At school, we were all supposed to do sport. He did sport.
Really?
He sucked
even
at
did
it.
Sport.
Yes, he sucked at it. But he didn't use it as an excuse to say, I'm sick or whatever. He would compete.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do as well as everyone else because of that condition, but he never used it as an excuse.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'd use that to not do sport. Please, please. I'd be like, sorry.
I mean, Blah played rugby. I'm like, what are you doing?
What
are you doing?
Crazy, yes. He played rugby.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of performances and trips and gigs and all of that, we did... The Graham Arts Festival.
Yeah.
What is it called?
National Arts Festival.
National Arts Festival in Grahamstown.
Which is now called Makanda.
Yeah.
Makanda.
Yes.
What? From Wakanda.
It sounds like it should
be. I don't know. But Grahamstown doesn't exist anymore.
Why do you
it's now
say
called
it
Makanda.
Out loud? Like, that's literally what I thought I was going to say.
So, man, that was crazy. I remember that. Biscuit, were you there?
No. He wasn't.
I wasn't present, but I was there.
Okay. Yeah, because we went.
I remember a funny story when he was doing that tour, and we're like, my guy, who's going to talk to Tanya's Bali to let her come on this tour? Because she's going to be with five dudes. And she's the only girl. But I was like, no, I'm going to go. And he booked an appointment and went to the Bali's office.
Yeah, he went to the office. I remember that. Because I wasn't going to ask. I certainly was not going to ask.
But your dad, though. I asked you about
it. I still
don't
even know what happened in that meeting.
The way... Because, you know, when I look back now, I'm like, your dad let his daughter go on this trip.
It was all blah. I don't know what blah said to him. But he just...
He went alone to the meeting. You guys didn't back
we
him
were
up.
Outside.
But Mr. Makoni was...
inside.
Mr. Makoni was scary guy. He wasn't just like, yo... Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, but Blah had a way of speaking. He was very respectful in how he spoke.
Yeah.
So I think a combination of that and the fact that he had the Muchemwa name.
Mm. Yeah.
And I can imagine how the conversation went. I'm sure he reassured...
Yeah.
Dad, that nah, this will be okay. He'll be fine.
Yeah. That whole thing was blah from beginning to end. He thought about the idea. He got the contacts. He linked up with Tate. And they made that all happen.
Brilliant, man. Blah, such a brilliant guy. And now think about all the different other things that we did together. You know, we did Unseen Movement, youth ministry.
He was heavily involved in that.
Youth ministry, all the different outreaches that we did.
Didn't she used to go with Blah and John Wayne for those prayer circles with the village?
Yes.
Was it you as well?
Yeah, I went to a few, yeah.
We too, yeah. So basically, we were planning this outreach at the Sam Levy's village.
Yeah.
And we would go. And we would just pray, walk around praying for the, hey, we're on fire, man. And Blah was there, we were there, Mr. Kent was there, you know. And I remember when we had to negotiate with the manager.
Yes.
At
so fun fact,
uh-huh.
We actually thought the guy's name was Mr. Pachao.
It wasn't?
No, because if you go, so what happened was on sometime last year, I was in Nando's and I had a problem because I was like, no, this is not on. They're taking so long and they're giving us the wrong order. And I was like, can I see the manager? And then the lady just goes, Pachao. And I'm like, Mr. Pachao is still around? And then this lady came. And then I'm like, yo, Pachao. Is like, yeah, it means manager in Portuguese.
Oh.
So we thought his name wasn't Mr. Pachao. He was the manager.
So when
you told me that, because that name is stuck.
It's stuck. So we thought
Taphove used to call him Mr. Pacho.
Exactly.
He's John's college boys.
Pacho.
But yeah, man, that that was crazy because we did this concert and
took over
Sam Levy's village. That Pomona food court, and there were I don't know how many kids that showed up, how many people showed up, and
it was amazing.
No, that was wild.
Yeah.
That was a crazy concert.
That was crazy, you know. And so all these things, man, that I look back and I'm like, flip. We did that and we were young.
Very young. Yeah.
We were young, you know, and that really rocked a lot of things. And so then for me personally with Blah, we just had this love for sneakers. Okay, I've got a funny story. So we start working at the village, and then first salary comes. It's like my very first salary ever. What do? We buy sneakers.
Okay. I remember that.
And we're left with no money.
No money to go back to.
Yeah,
to go back to
even go to work.
Spend the entire salary on sneakers.
Wow.
Yeah, then Blah's brother had to come through. He'd have to give us money.
And do you even have the strength to lecture people like that?
Those ones.
They were dope sneakers, though. I must say.
Yeah, and that just, and man, we always had the latest kicks. That was our thing.
Wow.
And so I was looking at some of the pictures. I'm like, yo, man, we are game, man. We're game. So, you know, and many, 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 many other memories. But when I look back at that, guys, and just think about life, for me, the thing that, of course, then often I'll go to Joburg. I go to Joburg, and the one thing that I would always do is when I land in Joburg, you're Blah, where you at, right? And so sometimes Blah is just like, come to my house, chill at his house, maybe for a night or two or whatever. And I think I remember the one time I was in Joburg. I went to Blas House. This is, I think, 2022 thereabouts, and So I'm sleeping. I wake up in the morning, and this one is just blasting worship music, right? And then I walked out of the room, went into the lounge, and Bly is praying, and he's playing. I remember the song he's playing. Is it a Dr. Toomey song? And so I was just kind of taken aback by that, because I thought, wow, you know, this guy is so, in spite of all the other things that he does, right, like all the gigging and stuff, he still found time, and this was like almost like his routine, you know. He would still find time to spend time with God, to worship, you know. And that, I remember that challenged me, because I thought, you know, a lot of guys, when they go out there, we've said this before, a lot of people just they lose their bearings. And so that's one of the things that always challenged me about Blah, that, you know, he kept his faith, he kept his walk with God solid, not perfect, but, you know, there was this foundation that he had that I think kept him grounded and stuff. So I still vividly remember that. And
I mean, Blah was just audacious. So just to kind of give context to what Kuda was saying, in 2008, Blah just came to my house. I was staying in the avenues. And he just said, look, dude, I'm going to SA, and I think I can open doors there. And I'm like, bruh, what are you going to do there? Like, how are you going to do that? Do you, like, it's like, no, Afari's gotten me a ticket, and Afari's a sister, and yeah, I'm gonna go there. And like, where are you gonna land, and what are you gonna do? Is like, I know, I'm going to, he's got an uncle there, one of my uncles, and then figure it out. I'm like, ah, cool, let's see what happens. And he actually went and did that. I mean, it was very difficult, it's a long journey, but he, yeah, did not consider the fact that he,
This is a bus ticket,
not an air ticket. His family, his only family is here. All of them are here. Yes, there's an uncle there, but that's about it. And I was thinking, there isn't much of a support structure that side. His health. And you know, just guans about South Africa. Yeah. Just like, you know, it's not safety and all that. But he didn't look at all that. All he could see was what he was able to do, or what his dreams were, and he went for it. And it's, when you think about it, it's like, wow, I wouldn't have done that under such circumstance. I didn't leave because of those kinds of circumstances. But yeah, Blah was just he was a big dreamer, and his passion for God. And the funny thing is, when he went there, the first thing he did was get plugged into a church called City Life. I remember that he knew that it was fundamental for him to get plugged into a church. And one of the first things he did was a Christmas production for the church.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
The one that Buri was directing, Andrew Bird. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Serious.
Yes. So it's, Blah, first protocol was get plugged into a church, get plugged into the work of God, and that was his foundation in relocating to Africa and relaunching his career. It was ups and downs. I mean, he got into hospital, got really sick. He was supposed to be part of my wedding. He couldn't make it because he was in hospital. And even after that, I remember when we bought our very first stove, we bought it from South Africa, and Blah organized all the logistics because he was now working at Park Station.
At the bus company.
That small
company.
Little guy.
Oh my
word.
Working
at Park Station.
Yes. And when we got there, we felt like kings, because everywhere Blah went, people would respect him. They would move things. We got preferential treatment to get our stove on the bus and everything. I'm like, this little guy. Yeah. And you know how scary Park Station is, the guards that happened there.
Right.
The guy was not scared of anyone there.
I remember, because I too was just like, Park Station, I still don't. I didn't like that place. But I was like, yes, Joel, bro.
Exactly.
So get onto a bus. Arrive there. I was about to say land. But arrive there. And then Blah is just like, I've got you.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Blah just knew everyone.
Exactly.
At Park Station.
Exactly.
He knew everyone. He knew the... Oh, and he's just like, dude, how do you do it? Tiny little guy.
Yeah.
And he worked there for a while until he then stopped. There's a story that Mkoma Elton shared, and Will Nyamuda shared that as well. Yeah. Will Nyamuda is a friend of ours who was actually Blah's pastor. About when Blah fell sick, I think it's in 2009.
Yeah.
Where I think he got into hospital. I think he had quite a serious crisis,
yeah.
Sickle cell crisis. Then they were in the ambulance. And because Blah never shared this story with me.
Yeah, yeah.
They were in the ambulance and then Blah flatlined.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Like totally flatlined. Oh, no. Goodness. What do you call that?
That. EKG, whatever.
Yeah. And then Mkoma Elton actually said he prayed and was like, Lord, not now.
Yeah.
You know. And then they managed to resuscitate him and he came back. And you know, when you hear stories like that and think, shucks, that really rocked me, because I thought, you know, we had him for another 15 years.
Yeah.
After that. Then another interesting story for me is, what year was this when he had the big operation where they had to take out his gall bladder? I think this was...
That's 2012. That's why he missed...
No. This was after 2012. This one was...
Oh, he had another one.
Yeah. He had a serious procedure done in 2012. I think it's around 2016, 2017.
Yes, he did 2017. Yeah. I remember that.
Because that was quite a serious operation. So, funny story. So now, he has this operation. I know nothing about it. Then when...
That one I knew, because you're selling me those pictures. And I'm like, bruh,
So I didn't know that he had been hospitalized.
Of his...
Right?
Of his scar. Operation and his scar.
So after that...
No. And he's like, dude. And I'm like, bruh.
So that's the funny thing. Blah would take pictures of everything. So now he's sending me pictures. Like, he's all stiff.
Yes, exactly.
And then... Sorry. Don't mean to gross anyone out. So I think they're like... draining parcels up
there. Yes.
And then we just take pictures of everything. And I just see pictures in my inbox. Right? Yeah. He's like, bro, check this out.
Exactly.
What is wrong with you? You know, but for me, it's the fact that he was so lighthearted about stuff. And he's just had this major procedure. But I think for me, the most amazing change that I saw is when he met Bella.
Yeah.
Bella, his wife. I remember him just saying to me, he sends me a photo with him and her, and they're looking very cozy and whatever. Then I'm like, okay, who's that? Then he's like, ah, she's the one. So I'm like, you've said that about several people. He's like, no, I mean it. It's just for me... You know, I watched this transformation, especially when Blah then told me that he wanted to marry.
Mm.
And again, I thought he was being funny, but dude was serious. Then he became a dad, you know? And I was like, Blah's a dad, guys. Mm. No way.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that for me was just like, wow, God, you know, this own is now a Bali. And,
I always made it a point to, every time I went to Joburg, I would let Blah know. And he would always say, Blah, you're not leaving until I see you.
Yeah.
So whether I meet you at the airport or whatever, Blah always made it a point to know, we're going to hook up. And then there's one day I met him on one of the very last days of my trip. So I was now broke. My wife had sent me with a long list of things. So I'd shopped around. So Blah came along, helped me. He knew the shops where I could get stuff cheaper and stuff like that. So after a long day, we're both broke and we're tired and we're hungry. And he's like, no, let's go to Mug and Bean. And then he was like, I'm going to order this one meal and I'm going to share it because it comes with bottomless lemonade. So we order this thing and we share it, and then he tells the waitress to bring two glasses.
Mm.
So, and then she brings one empty glass and
the bottom,
one thing. And then he pours half into my arrow.
Mm.
We drink. When it's finished, it's like another lemonade. Pours half into my glass. I'm like, this guy has ingenuity. Wow. And that was Blah. It was just, he was. And then obviously, him telling me he was getting married, I actually thought he was serious because, yeah, Blah was... He had this sense of urgency in the last few years that he had, and he wanted to do things. He wanted to achieve so many things. And I remember him, when the baby came, sent the picture. It was the most adorable creature I've ever seen.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And then so when I finally went, we went to Joburg and went to his house. His mom was there. Bella was there to see his daughter. Yeah, for me,
school that was, moment.
Yeah, it was just amazing. She was the most adorable thing I'd ever met. Like, my daughter's gorgeous, but that girl is on another level.
Yeah.
And I remember just looking at him and I'm like, wow, Blah, you made this. And she was so beautiful. I was like, yeah, God is punishing you for all the pretty girls. Now you're going to have to deal with guys.
Actually, you as the uncles are going to have to deal with the guys.
So that was just, you know, for me, it was just God's grace. Because it reminded me of junior school where this guy wasn't supposed to make it.
Yeah.
But here we are. He was a father to a beautiful daughter. He had a family.
Imagine that.
And he had a house, he had a Beamer.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you know.
This is someone who just decided one day I'm going to essay with nothing.
On a bus.
It's amazing, guys. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I think as I've been reflecting on the life of Blah, you know, I've been thinking maybe that's what happens when you live your life with a constant awareness of your own mortality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you know that this could all end anytime, there's a certain approach that you have to life that you're just like, I've gotta get it done. You can't take no for an answer. You can't live with regret. Perhaps that's what it is. You know that many of us just live life because we think
tomorrow's guaranteed.
We've got time, so we waste a lot of time. We don't make the most of opportunities. But for somebody like Blah, he was just like, dude, I've gotta get it done.
Yeah.
Without knowing what he was thinking.
Exactly. Yeah.
It feels like he made a decision at some point.
Yeah.
This was prior to me meeting him, definitely. Yeah. That transition when he came to Christ and everything, he made a decision of some form that whatever's coming, this is it. I'm just gonna go all in. Because I can't remember a time Blah said he can't do something or said he wouldn't do something.
Yeah.
I've really tried to think of a moment where he just didn't do it. In fact, the most distinct thing I can remember about Blah isn't even a thing, a moment. It's a feeling. It's like, put me under pressure, this guy. He never pressured me. But I felt like I owed him better, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like he just had that constant presence of, no, we can do more.
Yeah.
We can do better.
Yeah.
We can push harder. There's always another level to reach. And that was all the time, all day, every day. And it made me better, I'd like to think.
Yeah.
Must have made many other people better. But yeah, he is very intentional about everything he did. Constantly. And I can't say the same for myself, but yeah, he was.
Yeah. And Blah just had a big heart.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh. Like, if he was so considerate. Like, even when I was, when he was now based in SA and he would come and say, I'm coming, he wouldn't just tell you, I'm coming. He would always ask, what do you need? Do you need anything from here?
Yeah.
It was always like every time. Like, and it didn't just stop with me. I only learned, a few months back that he was doing that with my wife as well. And he would always say, my guru, how are you? What do you need? I'm coming.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. There's one time where he was overweight and he paid. We didn't know. We only found out when his mom was shouting at him, why are you always overweight and whatever? And we're like, oopsie, must be our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he never said it. Never complained, never said, hey, your stuff has made me overweight, I had to pay this. He paid it. A lot of the times when we tried to pay him for, he'd bring us our stuff at our house or bring it here at the office. And I'd be like, how much, brah? And like, don't worry. I'm like, dude, how much? I'm like, no, don't worry. That was such, his heart. He always wanted to. I don't know anyone who would say blah was stingy or he just had a big heart.
Yeah.
And in his position, there were times where he was broke, he'll still be like that. The times where he was bawling, same thing. He was so consistent.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's just really challenged me about blah, just starting to think of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. So can you give a little bit of context? I know when you mentioned his mom.
Yeah.
Are you talking about his aunt?
Yes, so his aunt. So Bla's mom passed away when he was about 2.
Mm.
Both his parents, actually. His dad passed away when he was about 2. I think his mom when he was about 5 or 4, I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But both his parents were late. So when I met him, both his parents were late. So he was raised by his mom's sister. I think she's the last born in their family, in the mother's family. And she was quite young. I think she was like 20 when she took over the children.
She was that young?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she took over. So Bla had other siblings as well. So Bla's entire family has sickle cell. All of them. His older brother, it's a very small degree, so it doesn't really affect him as much. But all
he lost,
of them,
he lost two other brothers.
Two other brothers.
Mm. Before he was born, yeah.
Before he was born of the same condition. So she had to, the aunt had to.
That is so brave. And,
yeah, like just adopt him and his brother and a sister who's also a cousin, but she also lost her parents. Yeah, so they were all in one. So the aunt is really to Bla mom because that's who raised them.
Amazing.
It's crazy. Speaking of that, I remember when Bla met my mom and my mom just fell in love with him, you know, and she'd the one thing that Bla would always do almost all the time, we'd just be like, hey, how's moms?
Yeah.
You know, and there was just this thing that he had for people, you know, and just to echo what Mr. Kent is saying about Bla having a big heart. I remember I was looking through my wardrobe the other day and just looking at the amount of things that Bla got me.
Yeah.
And because what Bla would often do is, sometimes I'll just post a picture and I'm wearing something. Then he's like, dude, you're still wearing that jacket.
Exactly. That was Bla.
Wow.
You know, then rest assured, next time he comes, it's like, so maybe I would have forgotten about it. Yeah. He's like, I got you a jacket.
Mm. Wow.
Or he'd be like, bruh, what are you wearing?
Yeah, that was.
And then I'm thinking, hey, man, I'm rocking some.
Mm.
He's like, dude, that item, you've had that item for too long. You know, and so that generosity that Bla had and again, it came from just his considerateness and just thinking about his friends, thinking about peeps. And, you know, like you'd randomly ask about people. He'd ask about, I remember when T-Mac got married. When Tima was getting married, Bla like to who? Then
I remember I had to defend Kunal.
Hey,
I'm like, no, he's a cool guy.
He wasn't happy. Bla was
met the guy.
Bla was not happy. He's like, who's that? He's like, who's that? Oh, he wasn't happy.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah, and so to my other daughter.
I think Bra really felt like you were his little sister. The way he was.
He wasn't happy.
What impact would you guys say Bra had on you guys individually? What thing stands out?
Yeah, I guess for me, like we've already said, his approach to life.
Yeah.
Just, even if you don't take into consideration his condition, that boldness, that devil may care attitude, is that the expression? I don't know. just his ability to see possibility.
Yeah.
And always see something as it's not, you know, like,
yeah,
you can find a way, like, not because I personally have a tendency to think of why something cannot work,
yeah,
or why I specifically can't do it,
yeah.
But this guy ish, there's no reason, like, there's no good enough reason as to why something can't work. So, yeah. I think for me, that was it,
yeah. The same, it's his unwavering belief in possibility. He just did not stop. He never, he didn't have to say it. He didn't have to preach to you about it. He didn't have to,
yeah.
He was just it. He just did that.
Mm. And his attitude while doing it. Didn't we have, yeah, some issue with the bus when we were trying to get to Grahamstown?
Yes, we did.
And he just downplayed it. Like, I didn't know that the issue was that big of an issue, but blah, yes, it just seemed like he was handling it. Like, I don't know what he did.
Leave. At 1 p.m., we ended up leaving at 9 p.m. Mm.
Wow.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Blood really did downplay. Such a bitch. And yeah, this is the smallest little guy who's planning all these logistics and handling all this stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
The friendship, more than anything. It's not often that you have a friendship that lasts over 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And in a very real sense, Blah was my best friend, because I've, of course, all you guys are my friends and stuff. But there was just something about the relationship that we had that I could tell Blah anything.
Yeah.
And so Blah had a lot of dirt on me. And so, yeah, maybe it's a good thing that no one's ever gonna. No one's ever gonna.
You actually took your secrets to the grave.
But yeah, man. But yeah, the just the fact that, you know, when you have somebody in your life who is just there, they don't.
Yeah.
They've seen you at your worst. They've seen you at your best. They still believe in you. They challenge you. And they still just see you as a person. So for me, that is priceless. And even as an adult, you know, just the fact that his mission now was, we always used to joke about this, his mission was like, dude, we need to have you married by the end of the year. That's my mission.
Every year?
By the end of this year.
Oh.
Okay. Right, that was his thing. Like,
Because he was now married.
So I'm like, oh, wow. You know, now that you're married, he's like, ah, dude. So he bought me this book. Blah. He bought me this book called Choosing Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's how serious he was. And 2 books, actually, on marriage. And then he's like, I've got a 3rd one coming.
Oh, my goodness. He was so focused.
Bruh. and yeah, so I think it's just those things that I remember that not a lot of people have people like that in life.
Yeah.
Where you have somebody who just loves you for you, and they've got a whole bunch of other things happening in their life, but they still care about you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that challenged me to say, yo, you know, am I that kind of friend?
Yeah.
Am I that kind of a person to other people, to my friends?
The answer is no, you are not. I'm joking. Yes, you are, Cookie.
It's okay.
Don't worry. We'll also have good things to say about you.
Yeah, you try, okay. Megan, you try.
Thank you. Yeah. And you, Mr. Kent?
I would say I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if it wasn't for Blah. I had no passion for entertainment and music whatsoever.
Then you became Mr. Entertainment.
Like
your actual name.
So my family was known as an academic family, boffins and stuff. I mean, my brother's got a PhD in nuclear physics. That tells you a lot. But I was always on the academic path. I was always in the, you know, the first class and all that stuff.
He was on his school as well.
Okay. I'm going to edit that out.
Yes, you were.
But yeah,
we were in the same class.
And I played.
Oh, okay. Just plugging yourself.
I used to sit next to Koda.
Yeah.
For 6 years.
That's just such a distraction. singing would be. I feel like that would be such a distraction.
Wow.
Well done for maintaining your grades. After O level, I don't know. Under such circumstances.
After O level, I'm like, yeah, I'm probably not going to be meeting this guy. And then in accounts, guess who's sitting next to me? So, but anyway, yeah. So, yeah, I had no idea of this whole world, and blah introduced me to it and made sure I stayed in it.
Mm.
So I think he was instrumental in, and I didn't know I had a passion and a talent for these things, and I think God brought him to highlight these things. And always blah was a reminder that, you know, I can do more, because I knew this guy's got this condition and he's doing this.
Mm.
I have no excuse.
Yeah. Mm.
So he was always a constant reminder that, this guy, he's doing this. Mm. And first he got me into rapping, and then he got me into making beats. Because I didn't make beats. All I did was rap. And then we couldn't find a producer who could make the sounds that we had in our head. Mm. And Blah's like, bruh, you can do this, bruh. Like,
enter free loops.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And he gave me an ultimatum. And he's like, I need beats and this. Here's the software. Here's this. I'm like, this guy. And I learned how to make music. And that's, he was like my so biggest crazy, cheerleader. Man. Even mm-hmm. Sometimes I'd make some whack items and be like, this is dope. I'm like, ah. He'd always encourage me and stuff. So I guess that's the biggest impact that, yeah. He was the reason why we're doing all this.
Yeah.
You know, why I'm in this industry and why I'm doing what I'm doing. So, yeah. One of the last messages that Blah sent me was just so random. And he just said, like, no context whatsoever. He just sends me no good morning, no what. He just says, my bro, thank you so much for everything. Really appreciate you. And I'm like, why is Blah being so mushy and stuff?
Yeah.
And it's things like this where, you know, I didn't know, like, a few weeks later, he wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And a few messages after that, is there something that we were planning, a really big festival with Blah, and we just suffered a major setback. So it was quite, you know, quite discouraging, but Blah was just optimistic and was like, I know we'll make a plan, bruh. And then when he landed, he was like, yeah, we need to meet and discuss way forward and all that. And then 5 days later, he's no more. And when I look back at it, I'm like, this thing happened because Blah was not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if whatever we were planning had come through, I'd now be sitting here thinking, I have to do this by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So things happen in life that you have no understanding, but now it makes sense that I'm still going to do it in his honor, in his memory. But
I remember when the week that Blah passed away, he sent me a message, and he just randomly sent me a message and he said, bro, I'm in Zim. Yeah. So I was like, huh? That's strange, because Blah would normally tell me.
Yeah.
Before he came.
Exactly, yeah.
So then I just, for some reason, it was during the Heroes Holiday. So on the second day, the Defense Forces Day.
Yeah, the
day.
Defense Forces
Day. Something in me was, I was actually supposed to be hanging with, you know, someone. And then I was just like, let me go see Blah. So I was like, are you home? He's like, yeah, come through. So I actually went to his house with someone. And then we spent that whole day together, you know, and I could see that he was looking a bit frail. But again, Blah, you know, Blah just used to downplay stuff.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about his tour. He'd been on on this Africa-wide tour, and he's telling me all about that. He's telling me about how excited he is about the fact that Napoleon is now the...
Yeah, he was really excited about that.
CEO of the National Arts Council, because they've been working together on a lot of stuff. It's just like, dude, I think there's a lot of room, because his whole thing was, I want to start giving back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to start helping artists in Zim. For those of you who may not know, Blah is actually the one who got Janet Manyoa onto Trace Africa, Trace Gospel, One Gospel, Everton Malala. He facilitated all of that stuff. you know,
instrumental in Everton's concerts in Bulawayo and in Joburg.
Yeah. So there was just this thing. So we were talking about all that, and then so I kept saying to him, but blah, why did you come though? He's just like, I just want to come home, right? And he gave some excuse. He's like, no, I think I get better doctors here for my condition. And he had brought, I think, some car transactions that they'd done and whatever. But none of it was making sense to me, because I kept thinking, but why are you actually here?
Yeah,
you could have waited a bit, you know, you could wait a bit longer and come to SA when you're feeling much better. But you're just like, no, I just wanted to come home. Then he just said, I'm going to rest a bit. Then let's make a plan over the weekend and hang since, you know, peeps are here. Because I told him that at the time, I told him Rob is here, Tino is here. You know, he's like, yeah, let's make a plan. I'm here for 10 days. And then, you know, and that was the last time I saw him. Because shortly after that, he went into a hospital. And then, and I remember the Monday night, the 19th, that's the day before he died. I phoned Mkoma Elton. And I said, Mkoma Elton, I heard that Blah is admitted. I've been trying to contact him. What's going on? Then he just said, yeah, I think he's been downplaying. He had been downplaying it and stuff, but he's fine. The doctor said he's going to get discharged tomorrow because his vitals are now looking good and stuff. So I was like, okay, cool. So tomorrow morning, we'll go see him. Because I remember actually, then I told Keith.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sheesh. The craziest memory for me is when my phone rang at about four in the morning. And I just saw the number, I saw the name that reflected, and I just knew. That was crazy. It's just a difficult thing to think that, just like that, you know, somebody, and it's like he slipped away. Because everyone thought, even Bella flew in, Bella's his wife, she spent that day with him, his mom, everybody just thought, I know Blas. Because he'd been through worse stuff. So everybody just thought, nah, this is just another thing. And even the doctor and the nurses were shocked as well, because everything was looking good. Then, yeah.
Just like him to go out on a high.
Yep. Then he's just like,
yeah,
deuces.
One thing, I remember his mom, aunt, sharing... when I went to the house after hearing the news, she was saying on Sunday, he actually flatlined as well.
Oh.
On Sunday. Funny enough. And they prayed. They fasted and prayed. And they managed to resuscitate him. And then his wife arrived. I remember her saying, it's as if he knew he hadn't said goodbye, or hadn't he needed to see her first before he went, so he came back. And the next day, the Monday, apparently spent the whole day with her.
Yeah.
And she was the last person he saw.
Yeah.
And that's just interesting.
And his last words to her, she was telling me,
yeah,
I want to take you to Jam Tree when I come out. Because she never went to see
Jam Tree.
What?
He was so crazy about Jam Tree. I don't know why.
Every time you'd come, let's meet at Jam Tree. I don't
want to go to Jam Tree. So she's like, his last words were like, I'm going to take you to Jam Tree.
That's so funny.
Looking back at Blah's life, he lived a full life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was 38 years, but he lived it to the full. He achieved so much. He had such an urgency. He wanted to do things, and he wanted to do them now. He wanted to do them big. The things that he accomplished, you're just like, who's this Blah? I remember a colleague of mine. So Blah and I, over the last 3 weeks, 3 years, sorry, we're working closely together on developing artists in Zim. And I was running a program called Scripts and Bars. And Blah was one of the mentors. So I would tell people about Blah and the things that he had achieved. And they had never met him. And I would just put, not like I was hyping him, just stating facts. This is blah, he's done this, that, that, that. So he's going to be the mentor, he's going to come in, we'll buy him a ticket. And then the day he's supposed to come, so the day he was supposed to do the workshop, he'd arrive. And I remember one of the colleagues later sharing at his funeral that he had heard so much about blah. He was expecting, you know, like a typical record label executive, you know.
Looking
person. Exactly. You know, this is big shot. Someone you can tell, no, this guy knows the business. And they see this short, small, light guy, you know what I mean, sitting in a chair. So he actually said he actually passed him and he thought he was one of the artists that that were there to be developed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back and he says, have you been helped? He's like, yeah, I'm waiting for Keith. My name is Blah. And the guy's like, you are Blah. You know, so if you didn't know him and you heard about his reputation, you'd know that this is a serious dude. And then when you then saw the guy, you just question, how does this small little guy achieve so much? And he did that in his 38 years.
Yeah.
So it's just a challenge for me that we don't know when we're going to go. Maybe some of us still have another 100 years or so or whatever.
Mm.
Or maybe you have 2 more days or 5 more days. But just the attitude that Blah had has just challenged me to live life like I have to make the most of every single day, every single moment, without any excuses, because that's what Blah did.
Yeah.
And when you look at his life, I think he had such a huge impact.
Yeah.
Such a big impact.
Yeah. I was thinking about the song that you sang, T-Mac, at the service, at the funeral service, or one of the services, The Life We Live, that song. And I just think,
fun fact is that Blah didn't write a lot of songs for Heaven's Language, but that one he wrote. Yeah. It was usually Tanaya or myself who wrote most of the songs. He had a few, and that one was one of the few.
Yeah, I think we should play that somehow. But what a life, man. What a man. What a journey. And just what a great privilege we had to have met somebody like Blah.
Yeah.
To, you know what I'm saying? To have somebody like that in our lives and to serve as a constant reminder that regardless of the seemingly insurmountable odds that you may face, regardless of whatever you may be going through, regardless of what people say about you, you know, regardless of all these things, that you can still live a life of impact.
Hmm.
You can still... You really have no excuse, you know, and so, and I think that's the challenge that we're posing to all of our listeners today, that if one life can make such an impact, what are you going to do with your life?
Yeah.
Because tomorrow is not guaranteed, you know, and yeah, I think that's the biggest take home for me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what he told me once this paper. I was reading it this morning, actually. It's Psalm 27. So I'm just going to read that really quickly as we wrap up. It's a psalm I've been reading, just over the last couple of days. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praise to the Lord. Hear, Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your heart, Lord, I will seek. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart. This is the part that got me. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Straight from the bakery, baby. Come on. Drop that chorus, baby. Yeah. Here we go.
More loaves and more fish, more clothes and more hits.
That's
right. We're holding spirit, we spark the regiment. We rock the continent. We got to represent. Be the thousands, make the disciples of men. More loaves and more fish, more clothes and more hits. We're holding spirit, we spark the regiment. We rock the continent. We got to represent. Be the thousands, make the disciples of men.
Used to the game and the knowledge of chicks. Living the life, I really thought it was the mix. We were writing all the hits, striving hard to persist. Until one day, I caught myself up in the mix. You know the mix is, I wasn't doing the father's business. Praying for early things, I couldn't resist, man. No lows and fish, flows and hits. Let's take a journey through my mind, escalating to this. Matthew 15, verse 36. Just explains how we fed 5,000 peeps. How we took two fish, how we started to this. And I was sent us on a mission to spark the regiment. Trip away. It's time to educate, open up Bibles every day. You will anticipate big things. For the one who is king, edifying one another as a spiritual team.
More loaves and more fish, more clothes and more hits.
That's right.
We're holding spirit and nerds, we spark the regiment. We rock the continent, we got to represent. Be the thousands, make the disciples of men. More loaves and more fish, more clothes and more hits. We're holding spirit and nerds, we spark the regiment. We rock the continent, we got to represent. Be the thousands, make the disciples of men.
Hey, yo, with music, put the foot on my soul, let it play. The people is perpetually hung, let them praise. Cause we giving them praise and we living in grace. As the glory of Christ falls down, I'm still amazed. Change and replace my ways, give me a place in your kingdom. And all my sins been erased now. I'm so clean and I've seen and I've been through it. Give me a life, pay the price, plus a new spirit. Now we enforce the recording some praise tracks. Making them hits, loaves and fish like from ways back. It starts from the master copy in the studio. The video to the hits you slamming on your stereo. Damn it, TVO, edifying your spirit to feed your soul. To grow till you all can feel it and see it. And that's how we feel them cracks. And if your spirit's still hungry, play them gospel tracks.
More loaves and more fish, more clothes and more hits.
That's right.
We're holding spirit and nerds, we spark the regiment. We rock the continent, we got to represent. Be the thousands, make the disciples of men. More loaves and more fish, more clothes and more hits. We're holding spirit and nerds, we spark the regiment. We rock the continent, we got to represent. Be the thousands, make the disciples of men.
Like I'm in Pharaoh's crib, I feel ready for the movement. Got to administer before I get moving. First I'ma rock the roll like M. Luther King. I'm all about that chair, I'm all about Jerusalem. And I ain't tripping, I ain't spitting the best flow. But I'm forgiven, so I'm here to confess, yo. Bruises are art like the style and the dress code. They used to call me smart cause I roll with UNESCO. The next flow, that's the loneliest fresh soul. For me to roll deep, I need to roll with finesse, yo. Metabolism, the spirit type, the lyric type. Swallow it, select metabolism, get you hype. Follow the rhythm, not the ism, let it get you hype. More loaves and more fish as we bless the lake. You know we kick it and we rip it when we bless the mic. Fader on his track, yo. Let's
more loaves and more fish, more clothes and more hits.
That's right.
We're holding spirit and nerds, we spark the regiment. We rock the continent, we got to represent. Be the thousands, make the disciples of men. More loaves and more fish, more clothes and more hits. We're holding spirit and nerds, we spark the regiment. We rock the continent, we got to represent. Be the thousands, make the disciples of men. More loaves and more fish, more clothes and more hits.
That's right.
We're holding spirit and nerds, we spark the regiment. We rock the continent, we got to represent. Be the thousands, make the disciples. More loaves and more fish, more clothes and more hits. We're holding spirit and nerds, we spark the regiment. We rock the continent, we got to represent. Be the thousands, make the disciples of men.
2005, that's MS language in your ear. Now we do it.
What?
Come on.
Okay.
All got to be.
What?
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot, it's fresh, it's uncut. Hashtag Real Talk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.